Welcome to the Construction User 2.0 from the Association of Union Constructors. In this podcast, we explore the latest labor trends, industry insights, and important issues in the world of construction. Join us for conversations with industry leaders, subject matter experts, and innovative visionaries as we discuss how we are building the world of tomorrow. Okay, so I'm going to break with my traditional script of how I introduce people and do it a little bit differently today. But first, I'm just going to say we have three incredible guests, Chad Waite, Kyle Dunka, and Megan Spivey, and they are all from the company Document Crunch. Now, I want to say up front, there's absolutely no money changing hands here. This is not a paid ad. They are not a sponsor. They have not asked for an infomercial. I am just really, truly, genuinely, deeply, and personally excited about the implications and applications of Document Crunch, and I think that we should have an awesome conversation about it. Document Crunch isn't just about AI and what AI is going to do in the future, but no, seriously, what AI can be doing for you in the construction industry right now, today, yesterday, tomorrow. Not what's coming, not what's down the pipe, right now. So let's talk about it. I want to definitely first off start up by welcoming you all here, and I want to keep it fun and conversational. So while I have you, before we dive into all the cool stuff you guys are doing, I have a very, very important question. I need to know what the last song you got stuck in your head was, Kyle. Like,
the last song in my head was, oh my God, it's Frankie Valli. What song is it? It's a Frankie Valli song, but I can't think of the title of the name right now.
Walk Like a Man?
No.
Sherry Baby?
I can't think of it right now, so maybe that's a bad song to go to.
Is it December 1960? Because that's happened to be before.
No, it's not that. I don't know. Megan, do you have a song that's in your in the top of your mind right now?
Yeah, Megan, what's the last song you just couldn't get out of your head?
This will definitely be very revealing. It's the first theme song, so...
I cannot tell you the number of years the Sophia the First theme song was stuck in my head. There is no shame in that. First off, because it's kind of a bop. And second off, Ariel Winter can sing really well. And third, because my kids watched it on repeat for 5 years.
Yeah. My daughter just discovered it like 3 weeks ago. So fun.
I got fun. You. How about you, Chad? You're not getting out of this one.
Yeah, I'm actually in the same vein. It's a little bit more of a mainstream classic, but Let It Go by Frozen. It makes its rounds, right?
It does.
My daughter doesn't even like Frozen anymore. She's past that phase, but the soundtrack lives on whether I want it to or not. So yeah, we've got the Disney side locked up this morning.
We really do. So I want to welcome you guys again. You know, Document Crunch, you are awesome. If you could just, let's start off with, like you were saying, some introductions and who we're talking to and what part you have in the Document Crunch world.
Yeah, so I'll start off with me. So my name is Kyle. I've been with the company pretty much since it first got started back in 2019. I went to law school, and the core essence of Document Crunch when we first started was, you know, being able to leverage technology that's out there to help speed up contract review, right? You know, an annoying part of having to mitigate risk in contract is, well, first you have to read them, find where all the provisions are, and that part alone can take a long time already in and of itself. So, you know, let's find a way we can use technology to help speed up that part to get right to risk mitigation, right? And then fast forward 5 years, team's grown, company's grown, new types coming on the scene, and we're just trying to capture it and really utilize it to get something forward to the rest of the industry to be able to use, right? I'm joined here today by my colleagues, Megan and Chad. Chad is leads up of our partnership channels, as he had mentioned a few minutes ago. And Megan's on my team, so she is also a self-proclaimed contract lover, advocate, nerd to some extent, even maybe. She's experienced in the industry as well. And yeah, just she understands the importance of having to go through a contract despite, you know, maybe not wanting to, maybe some other people.
So let's start really top level, because, you know, we're going to dive deep here in a second. But I want to start with, there may be some people out there, and I'm sure there are some of the listeners, that what's Document Crunch? Give me the top, the 80,000 foot view. Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, so we are a company that leverages technology to really just control, assess, and manage the risk that you may have in any of your contract documents, right? So whenever, if it regards even pre-negotiation, pre-signature, when you're still negotiating the contract, kind of put all the right terms into the contract, you want to make sure that what you're getting from the other party can fit what you can live up to, what you can comply to. You want to make sure that's good. and also post-signature when it's actually time to put shovels into the ground, right? You want to make sure that what your project team is doing is in compliance with what's already been signed into the contract, right? So you, if you deviate, then you might lose your rights to be able to claim additional time or additional money, and no one wants that.
So, I mean, at its core, if I was to boil that down to one sentence, it's kind of an AI contract compliance checker, to oversimplify?
To oversimplify, yeah, that could work. Megan, Chad, you guys want to color that in?
Yeah, I think the best way I've heard it in the most simple terms is contract in, risk out, right?
Nice.
You put a contract into the system, and instead of taking an attorney or a lawyer or CFO or, you know, anybody who's used to these documents, you can apply technology to it and basically extract what you need to know that is critical to both, you know, the back office and the project teams on the ground. Anybody who's dealt with a contract in the past probably is not the most fond of all the legalese that is in there, unless you like that. So this is a system that helps, I would say, boil it down into understandable and actionable items that the entire team can access. Because Kyle's point, you know, the word contract is in contractor, it's in every part of, you know, what we do. And when you sign a contract, you're agreeing to a lot of moving parts, a lot of them. So know what's in there. This is a tool that helps you understand what's in there.
Nice. No, I like that. Now, real quick, I know Kyle shared with this. Chad, do you happen to be a lawyer? I won't hold it against you, I promise.
I do not. My father is an attorney, though. So I was the child who did not follow in the footsteps of the family here.
You didn't go far.
No, I did not. He's an attorney for a bank, and my love for legalese was never established early on. So that is one of the reasons why I joined Document Crunch was I saw the gray hair it put on his head. And I look at AI and I look at Document Crunch as a health product.
So. Absolutely. And Megan, are you an attorney?
I am not. I just learned contracts by reading them. I'm from the construction. I worked on projects for a long time before I became a contract manager, and was that before I came to Document Crunch.
It's funny because I in my former career I worked I was that. I was the guy that read and wrote and changed and revised all the contracts for risk in a different industry, and so much so that I was looking at going to law school till a half a dozen lawyers were like, "Don't do it. You're fine.
Yeah.
Don't go to law school. Don't do it." So I went and got my master's in PR instead. But like, no, the reason I ask is, you know, Kyle, it sounds like this is kind of, in a lot of ways, removing the attorney, not removing entirely, but really cutting through all of those hours of attorney review to cut through it. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's right. And to your point, exactly. It's not removing the attorney, but it's removing the parts where you can have the most friction, the most pain points in having to do this very piece of the process, right? So the way I like to view it, like, I think about it like if we're in a law firm right now, right? A new contract comes in, the client's asking us to review it for terms. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to look to an associate to be like, "Hey, here's a 400-page contract. Here's three highlighters. Pick your favorite colors and just find for me where all the important provisions are and then give it back to me, then we can look at it," right? That part right there, that can be a whole day or two of just taking a highlighter to a contract to find where all these things are, right? But now, if you're able to leverage technology to do that, you collapse that entire 2 days into maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes, just verifying what the AI has found. So therefore, once you're good with that, you get right to the process of, okay, now what can we actually do to mitigate the risk there or cover our butts, right? For lack of a better term, right? So, right.
That's now, from what I'm understanding, both from talking to, you know, some of you guys and reading on your website and having been familiar with you guys for several years now, almost from the beginning, you know, Talk and Document Crunch have been working together. It's my understanding that you guys have done some really kick-ass stuff recently in developing your software to kind of the next level. And I would love to hear about what you guys, where you're at now and what you can provide, like who should be calling you guys up?
Yeah. So, for starters, like we all know that ChatGPT is already like all the craze has been going on that the last couple of months. Well, really what that means is, all right, there's a new form of AI on the scene called generative AI, right? And you can go to a ChatGPT and kind of just like use it off the shelf, what they're offering, right? But the thing there is, one, it's public servers, or it belongs to OpenAI, the creators of ChatGPT. So whatever information you put in there you don't know what's happening with it. You don't know where it's going to. You don't know how they're going to use it. So that's one. Two, because it's off the shelf, it's not tailor-made for any particular industry, right? So seeing those two things, we had an opportunity to like, okay, how can we harness that power, this cool stuff out there, and make it be specific for our industry, but also giving our customers the peace of mind that whenever they put the information in there, it's protected, right? And we did it two ways to accomplish that, right? So the first thing with security is we're now SOC 2 compliant. I don't know what SOC 2 exactly means. I just know our security people and our attorneys know it's a high standard for security and being compliant. We're now certified in that. So that's great. The second thing is how do we then tailor it to construction, right? So taking the subject matter knowledge we have in-house at Document Crunch, our two co-founders are construction attorneys by trade, our technical leadership are all very construction-centric too. How can we then take ChatGPT or whatever the LLM might be, the generative AI could be, right? And really make it be focused into something that we're serving to do, right? And so with some, again, so our engineers would probably answer this better, but there's some of their own, like what I call magic. We've been able to do just that. So therefore, you know, when you feed a construction document to Document Crunch, you're getting a much more tailored response output, I guess you would say.
Understand too. It's not the legalese. So it's accessible to anybody who's using the document. You don't have to be an attorney now to quickly and safely understand your document. You know, you're not having to put it into, especially like the private projects that are like, not private, but, you know, confidential and that sort of thing. I mean, there's just so many great applications for it for everybody in construction because everybody needs the contract in construction.
So let me walk you through what I am hearing, and you can correct me because I'm probably wrong. So I am, you know, I own a small construction company, large construction company, medium-sized construction company. I am a contractor, and I've just been signed on for a project. It's a multi-year, multi-craft, maybe not, maybe, you know, it's a project of any size or scope, and I have this contract. It's 30, 50, 80 pages long. I can feed
thousand.
It in... thousand, yes. I can feed it into this large language model, this LLM, this, you know, ChatGPT for a colloquial, you know, this... I can feed it in, and it'll pop out and like, hey, this is different than other contracts in this way. This doesn't give you these are the red flags. These are the problems. What does it tell me? After I feed in this thousand pages, what does it tell me?
Yeah, what is the output essentially? So I think kind of going back to the origin story of Document Crunch helps this, right? So the founders are construction attorneys, both in-house counsel and working for law firms. And there was this repeated nature of kind of the same things that they were looking for when I tried to identify if a contract was reasonable for them to move and bid on and say yes to, or if they needed to go back and negotiate. And this was kind of like Kyle was saying, there was a lot of footwork done in this, right? Yeah, I mean, you have a top tier attorney kind of going in and basically taking a highlighter into these, you know, these text documents for a long time. And so what Document Crunch does is exactly what you just said, Kirk. It basically says, look, here's a document that we're going to hold against about 45 provisions that we know need to be identified in every single contract, right? Like if you're going to say yes to this, these are the things that you need to know what you're saying yes to. Or should you go back and maybe negotiate if you can, or try to get some different language that's more favorable? And so that's exactly what it does. You put the contract in, our system scans it, basically takes out anything that's related to those provisions, things like liquidated damages, or even something as, you know, basic like a weather delay notification, right? I mean, it's like any language for things that are in there that not only impact if the back office should say yes or no to it, but I think to the point Megan was saying that everybody has access to this. The project teams that are now on the ground that are actually doing the work, you know, there are things in the contract that they need to have access to as defined by that legal agreement that is now in their hands in a way that is far more accessible than it's been in the past.
I'll just
say really quickly and faster. I mean, the chat is a perfect example of this. So chat is that new edition that we just released about 3 months ago. And the interesting thing about this, and Kirk, I want to do the thought experiment really quickly. You're on a job. A hurricane's rolling in and all of a sudden you realize that you're going to be out of the job site for a couple days, right? Like got to go home, batten down the hatches. You know, this may be an extreme example, but in this case, you would have to do two things. You'd have to find out what are your weather delay notification commitments that you have legally agreed to, right? And how does that actually become an actionable item? What are you drafting up? And so the chat, when we talk about it being very contextually related to construction, you can now go in there, anybody from the team, and say, you know, what are our duties for weather delay notifications? And in 10 seconds, it'll scan your document and pop out whatever those requirements are.
I'm sorry. You know, we started this with Sophia the First, and for the people who don't get the amulet of Avalor, the joke I'm about to make, you can now have a two-way conversation with the contract?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And that's a good one. That's really good.
Nicely with a bow right there.
Wow.
Good job. That was good.
You can go, like, I did not know this, because this is new. You can go and ask your contract, hey, what do I do if someone falls down? Hey, what do I do if XYZ? And it will pull and give you the specific provisions, no matter where they might be buried in the 1,000 pages of legalese.
Yes.
Yes. And you're not toggling.
Let's take it one step further, too. It's more than a glorified control find, right? Because, you know, you can find it, but then you can also take action on it. So what we like to do, and the reason we like to talk about the weather delay notifications, is you can then ask it, well, hey, based off of the criteria in the document, draft one up for me, right? And of course, there will be things that you have to plug in for the situation at hand. But again, go back to this idea that before you had, you know, some project manager having to go through the contract, figure out your duties for delays, and then go through and actually draft up the delay. And in the equivalent of probably 30 seconds of our chat, you can drop in a request to draft it up for you, find out what the guidelines are, and have it do it for you pretty much automatically. These are the type of things, these are the type of scenarios that I'm going to say gen AI, because if I actually try to say the full generative word or whatever, it just ties me up every time. But this is what gen AI does, right? Is it basically takes the mundane tasks that are outlined in these type of documents and makes it a hell of a lot more streamlined for the people that are actually impacted by it. Again, this is not just a back office thing. This is for the entire front, you know, start to end team who's impacted by the contract. I don't have a good Sophia the First reference like you did, but you know, I welcome another one coming up.
Great partners make a difference in any industry, but ours are the best. So let's take a moment for the Milwaukee Minute.
Milwaukee Tool is dedicated to providing a full range of trade-focused solutions that increase confidence and productivity on the job site. One example of that commitment is OneKey, our connectivity platform that puts job site management into your hands, allowing you to track what matters through the industry's largest Bluetooth tracking community. This purpose-built tracking hardware and software gives you the ability to customize, track, and manage your tool inventory, fundamentally changing the way you interact with your tools. Together, the OneKey app and the IoT-connected power tools deliver superior task-specific power, precision, quality, and repeatability to help you and your crew work smarter. The free app grows with your business, addressing inventory pain points, increasing productivity, and decreasing downtime. Learn more about the OneKey platform at onekey.milwaukeetool.com.
So really quick, and I assume I know the answer to this, but I am curious. This works before the contract is signed. You could ask it like, hey, if I sign before, you've just gotten the contract, can you say, like, it is important to me that I have X, Y, and Z. Does this contract provide for my requirements? You can ask the contract pre-signature if it meets your needs.
Yes, like a check. Like if you have your absolutes in a contract, you can ask it in a way that you're comfortable writing it. And ask the contract, you know, you can upload the document. It doesn't have to be executed for you to be able to get great insights and fast insights.
And that's what we encourage, right? We want the user to be able to come in at any time of the phase of the contracting to be able to start getting insights into what they're looking at or what they're handling. So therefore, they're not moving on to the next part without knowing fully what they just did in the previous part, right?
So now let's broaden this out a little bit. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, I'm a general contractor. I have a contract. I'm a subcontractor. I have a contract. What about things like collective bargaining agreements or project labor agreements where there's multi-signatory, multi-trade or multi-factor contracts? Talk to me.
Yeah. So right now, our product off the shelf can do that. If you ask it anything about collective bargaining agreements, project labor agreements, if it's in your contract or if it touches on your contract in any way, it'll be able to tell you about it to the best that it can, right? But because we know we want to be able to serve this specific part of the industry particularly, we are working on standing up chat, generative AI, whatever the case may be, to support the industry as well. So we are working down that road, doing some R&D over there right now. And but yeah, generally, if you put in a contract in DocumentCrunch right now, you will be able to start getting some insights around that.
This next question might be, nope, that's not what we do, in which case, sorry, but you said the words generative AI a bunch and Gen AI and things. So if I was a contractor and for whatever reason I was responsible for drafting the contract, could you ask DocumentCrunch to help draft the provision that you want written? Or maybe not the whole 1,000 pages, obviously, but if you told it what your requirements were, could it help you draft the language you wanted to provide to the entities?
For the content, yeah. So what it'll do is it'll give suggestions of how, if you give it like the elements that you would like to see in a particular provision for that contract, and you tell it, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Can you give me some ideas for a provision that can match these? It'll give you things and for you to look over and be like, okay, yeah, that works. Oh, okay, maybe no doesn't work. Toss it out, right?
And so even, yeah, it can. Yeah, I mean, provision, not just provision suggestions based on, you know, kind of your criteria, but also too, if you're redlining a contract and you need to provide a comment, sometimes it's hard to start thinking and brainstorming like, what's that? What are my reasons for this? And so you can use it to help brainstorm a comment that you would include with a redline. I mean, there's a lot of great applications in having it not only for the contract language, but also, you know, ideas around that whole workflow.
Talk to me really quick about, you know, real numbers. We have a lot of people in our industry and specifically in our organization that are very, you know, don't build me a clock, tell me the time. So let's talk about time savings. This process used to take X amount of time, and with DocumentCrunch, it can take as little as Y amount of time. What are those, the contract process, what are we talking about in actual dollars and cents and time back in my day?
Oh, that's a great question. I love that. So I think one of the most interesting things, I'm going to back up to when we actually show this off to potential clients, right? A lot of our approach is, hey, take a contract that you've dealt with in the past, right? Like, take a contract that was really gnarly, you know, you had to get nose deep in it, took a lot of time, you know, maybe it was 10 hours, maybe it was 20 hours, maybe it was more than that. If somebody going through and trying to herd the language, you know, cast in there and put them all together to make sense, you know, we can turn around and plug that into our system. And what took 20 hours of analysis, get the insight around what you need to know and where the risk lies, takes, and I'm not joking, 3 minutes. So, you know, the time savings is there. And then it's a simple math equation after that, right? You say, well, you know, how much are you paying your counsel or your attorneys to be doing this review? And again, we're not trying to mitigate them or anything. They're still an important role, but guess what? The attorneys probably don't want to be doing the highlighting either when it comes to these contracts. So, you know, the time savings is, and I think this is one of the things that makes DocumentCrunch very, very unique in the space, right? There's a lot of con tech out there. There's a lot of construction technology that promises savings and promises efficiency. And it's a little bit nebulous in how it actually delivers that. When we come to the table and we say, give us a contract, look what we've just done in 3 minutes. How long did that take you? It sets the stage for a very, very real outcome of just how much time it can save on the actual review side. And then, you know, things like that, again, I keep going back to that weather delay notification, because typically writing something up like that, maybe 30 minutes, and you just did it in 30 seconds on our platform. And these aren't like out there refined marketing things. These are real situations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So now everyone who's ever talked to a lawyer in any capacity or read a contract at all understands that there's about 14 different ways that you can hide something by saying it in the way that you're not expecting. You're like, wait, that's what the... Like, and legalese gets particularly provocative at being subversive sometimes. I'm not saying everyone's a bad actor or has, but it's out there. There are people that give you contracts that you, even if you'd read it 5 times, you'd have never caught that clause to mean what that is. So you, like you said earlier, it's not a control F, you know, find weather delays. There's ways that that could be, there's places in a contract that something could be written about delays that aren't in the weather delays section. Talk to me about guarantees that obviously 20 hours of a paralegal or an attorney reading something, you have weariness, you have lots of different factors, you have lots of different things from a human element that can go wrong. Obviously, this cuts that 20 hours down to, like you said, 3 minutes. But how do I know that it caught all of that stuff that an attorney might be trained to go, ha, gotcha. There's a lot of mental calculus that goes into legalese. How good is your document crunch at legal calculus?
My only thought was, you know, it's construction. There's Frankenstein contracts. So you talk about nefarious. Is it nefarious or it's just people are just like copy and pasting language they like and it just grows and grows and grows and grows. But I think Kyle has the statistic of the accuracy.
Yeah.
That was my point. It was just people don't revisit their templates.
Right.
And then suddenly you've got indemnity in four places instead of, you know, just the one section labeled indemnity.
Yeah. And so to your question, Kirk, right, there are instances where what can be very everyday English in our language turns out to be written in a totally different way when it gets to a contract, right? Just based on legal phrasing and legal terminology and whatnot, right? So it gets confusing. And the way we've helped address that is, like, yeah, we've written up what we call rational insight. So therefore, when you're looking at a provision and then you pop open this page where our rational insights are, we give you things to be mindful about as you're reading through these provisions, right? Like, hey, you know, if you're looking through this, be mindful that this is what, you know, you could be expecting. And again, it's all sort of providing legal advice. That's not, we're not trying to cross into that. But at the same time, we want to be able to to educate the reader, the user, whoever, but the person might be like, okay, when you're reading this, this is what you these are things to be mindful about as you're going through it.
I'll add one more thing too. I think it's interesting. There's a lot of companies jumping on the AI bandwagon, right? You know, they say, oh, hey, look, we have AI, you know, this, AI, that. A lot of times it's, you know, bolt-on features or things that are add-on to existing platforms. It's interesting in this conversation here that to note that from the ground up, Document Crunch was foundationally based off of AI that was purpose-built around doing exactly what you just asked for, Kirk. So the foundation was, you know, we have a couple of attorneys that know exactly how that kind of disparate, very, very fluid language works. And so with that input in from the ground up and saying, we need to train AI to be based around dynamic ways of hiding contract language like that, that is fundamental, right? And the interesting thing, the second thing I'll say too is when we do, for example, like a risk analysis of the contract, you know, and this is very easy for the user to see. You put in the contract, you analyze it, and for these provisions, we'll highlight where we've actually found different occurrences in different pages. And this is the point of Document Crunch, right? You'll see that, like, you know, indemnification on a 100-page document is mentioned in page 1, 5, 7, 22, 27, 53, right? It's everywhere. And it will often be very surprising to people when you have a visual representation of just how scattered that language is because of variations, not only how it's mentioned, but where it's buried and whether it's a copy and pasted Frankenstein by accident because it's out of necessity to get a contract out, or if it's very intentional and buried in a way that was manufactured. It's still not only caught, but it's also showing to our users in a way that shows, like, yeah, here, this is why this is important, right? We just found 20 occurrences of this, and it's all over your document. Of course, the more pages the document is, the more times you're seeing disparate mentions of certain provisions and risks in that.
Love it. Love it. No, that's, I wanted to kind of dig into that. So one kind of other question is, you know, we talk about, you know, the boots on the ground, you know, rubber to the road, fingers on the keyboard. Who is using Document Crunch? Is it the contractor or is it the contractor's lawyer? Who is the user of the of Document Crunch? The actual person. I don't mean the company. I mean the person is who.
This is going to sound like I'm giving a super broad answer, but the literal answer is anyone and everyone who has to touch or read the contract, right? So whether in the back office, that could be the attorney, the chief legal officer, the general counsel, the contract admin, the risk manager even, right? Or on the field, it could be the project executive, the project manager, whoever is charged of owning the contract to make sure that the project as a whole goes smoothly and without any issues from point A to point Z.
Awesome. Now, I have kind of run out of things to specifically ask. I think the Document Crunch is such a good idea. You know, as you said, you know, I work in marketing, so I can go through and see all of the buzzwords throughout. You know, at one point it was streamlined, and then it was HD, and then it was 4K, and there's all these words that get, you know, in full resolution. What does that mean? There's all these words that get tacked onto things, and AI has become one, but you know, you guys are foundationally AI. It's not a bolt-on accessory. It's not.
Yeah, right.
If you think about it, spell check is AI. So we've all been using AI since the, you know, early 90s. But AI is developed and you guys are foundational to that. And I think it's a really cool development and it's going to serve a cool purpose.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys kind of like wanted to dig into that we could talk about?
Well, I'll just summarize it in a sentence here. But like, we don't care for the AI or the tech that we use. What we care to do is just take what's the best and brightest out there. So therefore, we can create tools that can help the industry accomplish their job in a much quicker manner, much more reliable, much more consistent. So whatever it is underlying in our engine, under the hood, right? We don't care. We just want to be able to give the best thing out there to the folk in the industry, make sure the job goes well.
Where does Document Crunch want to be in 5 years? I know this isn't a job interview, but still, like, where does where are you guys headed? What's the moonshot for Document Crunch?
Yeah, I think particularly we want to be able to start helping really the project teams on the job site the most. We want to make sure compliance to the contract is paramount and important in front of mind to all those people. Chad,
Kyle, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
And also too, but you know, going back to what Kyle was saying, you know, everything we're doing is focused on making the work around contracts, whatever part of the contract process we're on, it's to make things faster. You know, I've heard our CEO describe it as giving, you know, project teams superpowers, be a way to get things done faster. So whatever we do, you know, like Kyle said, it doesn't matter what tech we use, as long as it delivers on the ability to make life easier for people in construction around contracts. And that's the heart of what we do. You know, yes, AI is a buzzword, but it all comes back to, is this making life better for people around contracts? Is it making their workload lighter, faster? You know, that's the center piece of what Document Crunch is for.
I think part of that too is, you know, in 5 years, where do we want to be? Well, we want to be where our users are at, right? We know that people who are using us are also using project management systems like, you know, Procore, for example. We are very helpful, but it's even more helpful when you're layered in into the systems that these people are already using day in, day out. And so I think that's one big North Star for us is you know, in engaging the ease of use for the people who are looking at using Document Crunch. We want to make sure that we're stepping into their door, right? We're not having them come over to our place. And so I know that that's a big discussion, a big goal. We actually have a forthcoming Procore integration launch coming up here soon, and there will be more to follow. I will also say, just going back to the AI buzzword, just one quick comment on that. It is really interesting. I think there was this watershed moment about a year and a half ago when ChatGPT got released, right? The way that I always kind of look at it tongue in cheek is, you know, prior to that, the general public thought of AI as kind of the movie AI back in the early 2000s, if you remember that, right? It was Haley Joel Osment in the, you know, in the robot fighting ring, you know, and everything was just death and destruction and fire. And that was kind of the generalized assumption of what AI brought to the table. Now, though, especially after ChatGPT, the reason it was a watershed moment was most people had this tangible thing that they could look at and they could say, okay, well, this isn't, you know, this isn't going to destroy civilization. What this is, you know, application of technology to monotonous tasks. And what we've done is really honed in how that's applied to an aspect of doing business within the construction space. And so I would say beyond just all the cool features and stuff, contractors are ready for this, right? Like they understand it better. They understand it from practical exposure in other realms. And you know, now when you can actually layer that in with a positive impact business, it becomes a really powerful narrative. And it also is very future facing, right? I mean, you talk about us, where do we want to be in 5 years? Well, you know, flip that question around. Where do we want our users to be in 5 years? Well, we want them to have complete line of sight into the risk that they're accepting. We want them to be empowered to say yes or no to contracts much faster than they were before. And we wanted to make, you know, everybody on their team have that same level of understanding that typically an attorney would have before. So I don't know. It's kind of cool. I think we're in a really transitional period here. And, you know, let's talk again in 5 years. We'll have new Disney shows and new AI realities today. So
I love that that's called back like every 10 minutes. No, it's so true. I love what you said about the watershed moment. I mean, I'm not particularly tech savvy at all, but they've, you know, AI has always been this, yeah, for computer programmers and programmers and all that, but all of a sudden it's now, that's why I was asking the question about who are the fingers on the keyboards, who are the people engaging with this? It's now AI has reached the general population where we can use it without needing a degree in computer science and understanding how to build a large language model. Now you don't even need to necessarily understand what a large language model is anymore. I mean, you should, but you don't need to use it.
That's right.
Totally.
Well, thank you guys so much. This has been awesome. We've been wanting to have you guys on. It's been great that we got to have the conversation. We'd love to have you on. And again, you know, with your next release or in 5 years to talk about where we are and how we got here and where we're going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love
you,
that.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Kyle. And as always, you know, please tune in next week. You've just listened to the Construction User 2.0 podcast from the Association of Union Constructors. Don't forget to subscribe to get all future episodes of what is going on and what is current in the union construction and maintenance industry.